Welcome to the Find Your Leadership Confidence Podcast with Vicki Nethling. You are about to discover impactful lessons that help you grow as an individual, grow your confidence, and find the positive and good within you, so you powerfully and authentically become the best version of yourself. Be sure you visit our website at www.findyourleadershipconfidence.com. While you're there, subscribe to us via your favorite network. Now tune in, get ready, and enjoy the journey of emerging as a leader of exception in the 21st century.
Welcome everyone to the Find Your Leadership Confidence Podcast. I'm your host, Vicki Nethling, coming to you from Roswell, Georgia. The goal of this podcast is to bring topics and guests that will empower you to become that confident leader and take your business and your life to the next level. Today, I am very excited to have as my guest, Kathy Azada. And let me talk to you a little bit about her background. So Kathy is a highly accomplished former tech executive with an impressive 15-year tenure in the corporate world. Throughout her career, Kathy has worked with renowned Fortune 100 and 500 companies, including DirecTV, AT&T, and Omnicom. Her vast experience spans across the diverse industries such as technology, entertainment, marketing, and advertising. In 2018, Kathy embarked on a journey by founding Heart Mind Tuning, an exceptional agency dedicated to empowering executives and leaders in the tech, product, and engineering fields. At HeartMind Tuning, Kathy offers a comprehensive range of services designed to enhance whole person leadership and executive coaching. With her expertise in mindfulness practices, she enables leaders to bring about transformation, change, both personally and professionally. So today we're going to talk about human-centered leadership, what it is, and why it matters. Please join me in welcoming Kathy Azada.
Thank you very much, Vicki.
So Kathy, I always start with an easy question. Please let everybody know what part of the country you call home. Where do you live?
That's a good one. Well, I live in Los Angeles, California.
Have you lived there all your life?
I have lived here for like 24 years.
Oh, wow.
I think that qualifies for a good part of my life.
That's like I always say, now even though I call Pittsburgh home, I've lived here in Georgia longer than I lived in Pittsburgh. But it's, you still call home where you were born, I think.
Absolutely. That's always part of my identity.
So part of what I do in my leadership training is leading with the heart, the head, and the hands. And so human-centered leadership, I think, falls really in line with this. But, you know, the thing is that we're asking is, what is it and why it matters? So talk to me about how a person shifts from the tech world and becomes a coach for leadership. Because, you know, I was a project manager for many, many years, and I know it's a little bit of a stretch for some people that are very techy to be empathetic and human-centered. So talk to me about this journey that you had.
Okay, Vicki, first of all, you were being kind by saying it's a little bit of a stretch, because it can be a long stretch. One of the reasons is that if we rely a lot on our knowledge and our logic, we lose flexibility.
Yeah.
We are relying a lot on those two elements, which does not allow us to connect with other aspects of ourselves. And in my journey, I think I always had that creativity in me since the beginning, because before I wanted to become an engineer and all of that, I was rooting for becoming a writer. And I have always written. I mean, written word is part of my expression in life. So I had the creative side and I had that other side. So my brain had some parts of it already in it. But the thing that it's very important in here to consider is building that flexibility in our brain to be able to see that everything is not one plus one equal to true. Sometimes one plus one can equal 55 or whatever.
Yeah, I know that feeling. It
It
is not all black and white.
is not. Gray is a very big area to play in.
Yeah. So share with us your thoughts on why leadership development matters and what does it mean to you? I know what it means to me and my opinion of it, but I think sometimes it is somewhat personal. So for you, what does leadership development mean?
It goes back to my personal experience in corporate world that they look and see you can execute, they look and see you can produce, and they're like, oh my God, yeah, the person is good, let's promote her to the next level. And so you become manager of people or manager of a project, or you become a lead, especially in the tech and product world. These are the jargon that is used. But one thing that it does not surface is that, okay, this person can execute. We are giving them more responsibility. We are giving them human development. Are we really helping them to become prepared for this? Or because just they executed really well, we expect them to execute on other things. And most of the time, the latter is the case. Nobody sends people to the management university or leadership university. The most that the companies can do, if the economy is good and there are not layoffs on the horizon as much, they will go back and say, oh, we'll send you to some training. And training is an amazing thing. I have gone through millions of them in during tenure. Training, assessment, all of those things are amazing. I'm not gonna downplay the role. But the thing is that they are general. You gain a lot of knowledge, but how you process the knowledge, that's your internal journey. So a lot of people go to these, including myself, go to these and they get jazzed up and they come back to the work and they get sweeped back into the deadline board and they forget about it. 6 months later, you ask them, what did you get? And they're like, oh yeah, I attended that. So going back to your question, leadership development is about helping a person have access to a sounding board that can accompany them in their journey of discovering what leadership is, what it means to be a leader.
That's such a great point. When I first ventured into leadership, it was formal. I think I ventured probably years before that as I was led by example. But what I was fortunate, the company that I was first that I was with gave great concentration or emphasis to trying to prepare leaders. I wouldn't say develop them, but prepare maybe leaders some. And so we had to go for 3 weeks training at supervisor level and manager level. And there was a lot of role playing in that. And that actually was a great example for me in my later leadership roles when all of that was taken away. All of a sudden, financing, the stock market, all that made leaders training not as important, except for the upper echelon, the VPs and the directors. But the problem is, before you get to that, all of those supervisors are really frontline leading people. And they need it probably more than those VPs and directors, because they're not really impacting directly that workforce. And so I think that's why so many people leave their managers, not their company, but their managers, because they don't have the tools. They weren't developed to become strong leaders. And so that's why you and I do what we do today, I'm sure.
That is very true, Vicky.
So can you tell me about the impact of stress on our brains? Because when we go into leaderships, as you mentioned, we are probably good at a skill, great in problem solving from paper, but all of a sudden you throw into it people and diversity and emotions and deadlines, as you mentioned, and there's a stress that comes with leadership. So what is that impact of stress on our brains?
Very beautiful question. Let's go back and define a couple things. And one of them is, stress by itself is not a bad thing. Stress by itself actually is a reason why we excel in life, because it pushes us to go further and further. But the thing is, we always do not have a good relationship with the stress. That's number one. So it's an important thing to look at our relationship. The other thing is that when we go into these new positions, there's a lot of unknown. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of, if we feel like we are being watched, but we don't know what we are doing. It's like being in an escape room and somebody's watching you from outside on that camera, and you have a timer because you have to prove yourself. And you're like, okay, where are the cues? Where do I find all these cues and puzzles and everything? That is where the stress is introduced. A negative stress in this case. Not a positive stress. I mean, there is the positivity is that if you feel like, I know what I'm doing, that's where leadership development comes. Oh, I am experimenting, or I don't know this, but it's okay. I can figure it out. That is positive stress, because you are going into a territory that is not comfortable, but you're not being pushed into the deep end of the pool without any life jacket. Now, that is the stress that is negative, that impacts the brain tremendously, partly because a lot of times we don't have the capacity built in our brain for that. We are don't have the resilience built on our brain for that. And that is where we are putting our system in a situation that is working beyond its capacity, at extra hours and extra time. And that is where actually aging happens. Aging, we think that why our body is getting these chronic situations, chronic fatigue, chronic diseases, all of that, is because it is aging prematurely in some ways. You're putting that amount of stress that it is not designed for, it doesn't have capacity for. So one thing would be, okay, how do I become more resilient? Yeah, that is one way. But the other thing is that why should you put yourself under a stress that you have not accounted for building you up to the next level?
So true. And so really, I think one of the things that you talk about is quieting, learning to quiet the mind. And I think to me, that would be a step to being able to manage stress. So talk to us about learning to quiet the mind.
I love your question, Vicky. Let's look at that. One of the biggest challenges that everyone, I think, in this day and age has is doing nothing. I even made a post for Instagram once. The biggest challenge in life is doing nothing. And why? Because we are so conditioned to always be doing something, because we have built this equation in our mind that productivity means that I produce, that I do things, that my to-do list is in a certain way. We've built all of this conditioning because of the society, because of maybe our upbringing, whatever the case is. If we are adults that are listening to this podcast and this recording, maybe it's time for us to check in with ourselves and say, okay, I have been conditioned in this way, but is this really benefiting me or is this hurting me? That's really, that question mark is a big question mark. And we will not be able to ask that question mark if you're not willing to at least stop and ask that question. Because if you're running, we don't have time for asking questions. We're just running, and we don't want to fall off that treadmill. I think anybody could have experienced that if you stop on the treadmill while the treadmill is running, you fall. It's not pretty. So this is the same thing. First, pushing the button on the treadmill to stop. Now, going to the quieting the mind is the next step. After we push that stop button, there is a moment that we are like, this is so scary. What am I? Who am I if I am not doing all these things that I'm doing? And then the mind gets very flooded at that moment. And most people do not go beyond this point because it's so scary that they go back to the old patterns. So being able to quieten the mind is really a journey that needs some learning, that needs some perseverance, and needs that we be really in a position that we are like, okay, I want to experiment with this. It's not for everybody. I really want to mention that. And it doesn't come to everybody at every moment that they are listening. I mean, it should be the right moment, basically. And many people, unfortunately, in the corporate world, experience this moment after they have had a heart attack or a stroke, or they are in the hospital, or the doctor calls them to give them bad news. It's not funny that we need to wait for a health condition to get our big awakening. And we're like, yeah, now I need to make a change. That is not a fun thing, because a lot of the people, especially, have families, have people who they love, and they love them. So why not take care of ourselves before we get to that point, while we are contributing to our leadership or our journey or whatever the case is, but at the same time paying attention to how am I going about this journey?
And you mentioned earlier about, our upbringing, and I have a daughter who has two young sons, and they are on the go constantly. And one of the things that I try to tell my grandson, who's eight, is it's okay to have nothing to do. And I think, especially for me, I'm 66. And so my upbringing was, well, if you don't have a task or a chore or something, then you're being lazy. But the great thing was that my grandmother had a farm, and I could go and take a walk, which was doing something, but doing something that allowed me to just be present and to really take in and quiet my mind. And I think that's, I always tease my grandson. I say, we just are going to lay and look at the clouds, and I just want you to tell me what you see in the clouds. And it's like, it's not being attached to that electronics. It's not being a watching television. It's not going to a ball game, kind of thing. And I think that's what we need to start teaching our kids at this young age, that it's okay to not have anything to do.
What a beautiful gift you are giving that young person. These are the memories that this person will carry from you and the time that they spent with you. I don't think anybody will carry the memory of playing Minecraft, or I don't know, what is that thing? Fortnite.
Fortnite,
Yeah.
yes.
Unless you are very good to play with them.
Mm.
But I don't think that's the memory that people will carry, but they will carry the memory of the moments that they looked at the sky with you. I have a 13-year-old, and I can tell you, we made a decision at the beginning to see if we can allow, or I should say, disallow our ambition to take the child to all these different opportunities.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of opportunities, and one can be sucked into that
Yeah.
illusion that, oh, I want to expose my child to all of these things. But yeah, but the child needs to be able to absorb them too. Am I
Yeah.
listening to my ego, or am I listening to the child? So that's something that I had to go through it too myself, and it was a struggle, maybe more with for me because the child doesn't know what I'm doing. I think it was more a struggle for my ego, to be honest.
I agree. But that's why we have people in their 30s and 40s that don't a simple thing, can't be quiet in an elevator. That they hate that however many floors you go, even if it's 4 or 5 floors, that silence is uncomfortable. But it's, a great time for you to just quiet your mind.
Yeah, how many people do you see, especially younger people, who don't have some kind of an something in their ears? People feel like they constantly need to be listening to something, and our culture feeds it. I mean, I don't think I really did a study for the for a reason for the past 4 or 5 years. Hardly you can find bathrooms that they are not playing music in the restaurant.
That's true. Or looking around at a restaurant where you don't find at least a handful of people on their phone.
Yeah. Oh, that. I'm not even gonna venture into that piece. This past weekend, Mickey, I had an experience that really baffled me. I was in a spa, and it was a pretty decent spa, and there were some women in the steam room, and they were talking. And once I noticed that one of them was talking on the phone, and I was thinking, what kind of a phone works in a steam room? I really didn't know there was such a thing in that hot, humid thing.
Yeah, not good for a phone, I don't think.
Well, it wasn't good for the human that was
Yeah.
sitting there. I don't know about the phone, but this is where we are headed. We don't allow ourselves to be.
So, as a female leader in tech and executive coach, what advice do you have for other female leaders, entrepreneurs that I have out there as well? What advice do you give them?
Thank you for that question, Vicky. The biggest advice I can think to give people, if we can call it advice, is learn the art of checking in with yourself. It's the beginning of the year in January. I know at least in California, there is not a day that I don't see some kind of a gathering for a vision board party, or let's look at how we want to design our life in 2024. I was talking about it last week at USC. So there is a lot is happening at the beginning of the year. Even if you don't want to do those things, if you don't believe in those things, give yourself the opportunity to connect and check in and see if where you are headed is still in line with where your heart is at.
So that kind of ties to our theme, which is the human-centered leadership. Why does it matter so much that we go from the leadership style that we had in the when I first was taught how to be a leader was in the 70s and 80s, and I know why I teach what I teach now. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on why we have to, as this world is needing to change, why we have to be human-centered leaders.
Corporate America is a beautiful machine. It works well. It knows how to work well. Recessions happen, layoffs happen, economy goes up and down. Still, corporate America knows how to function. But people do not carry what happens in the corporate America. People carry what they experienced during their journeys at corporate America. So it is very important that we tend to understand what are we leading people with, what kind of experiences, what kind of emotions, how are we treating our talent. One of the things that I have been doing, especially in the past year or kind of, has been how can we do layoffs that are more humane? Because layoff is part of the journey of corporate America. People can argue with me that it is not human, all of that, fair. But when a company is not making money, they or the economy is down, it's just part of
That's what it is, yeah.
the survival system of a this mechanism. But we have a choice. We as managers, as decision makers, as supervisors, as the higher ups, we have a choice. It was what company was that? I think it was a Stripe, if I'm not mistaken, and that the CEO, before they had the layoff, he went on Twitter and he announced that he has made a directory of the alumni of that company that are going to be laid off so that other people who are looking into hiring can hire from that. That's human-centered leadership. We are understanding that this is not just an entity that we can get rid of and hope somebody else comes when we need it. We are considering that these are humans that have family, that have bills to pay, that have kids that need to go to college, that might have medical conditions, that are relying on the medical insurance of the company. There is a myriad of all kinds of things that is happening in a human life. Can we connect with that and not just and person as an entity that is functioning in this in the service of corporate world?
Yeah.
This essence.
When UPS moved here to Atlanta, it is whenever I joined with them, and I was in their employment office, and we did not advertise where our office was. So when I went to interview, I w was given the information, but I wasn't told who I was interviewing with. And I wasn't allowed to tell anyone after I interviewed the first time. I had three interviews with who I interviewed with. Because we had a deal with three companies that had laid off people here in Georgia, that they would have first choice to be hired. And so, and they were all tech centered companies, and we needed tech because UPS didn't hire or didn't really get into technology until 85. So it was my first exposure to that heart centered leadership where. Okay, we realize that these people need a job. And rather than us searching for people randomly, let's see if we can help these different groups.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, there's a lot of ways of going about this kind of thing if we change our lens. One of the people asked me, how do I define a criteria for deciding who needs to go? That's a big question. Who needs to be on that chopping board? And yes, it can be very tempting to keep younger people because they make less money than the more senior people. But can you consider that it is harder for a 50 plus person to find
To
a
get
job?
it right. Well, and also it's the atmosphere after, I have been in that situation where people leave, and who's your mentor? Who is passing on? Who is the where's the succession planning? And so when you only have the young people, that becomes an issue. And a lot of times things are done that could have been avoided if they had somebody more senior been there, done that to help them.
Yeah, technology is a beautiful thing that a lot of younger people have plenty of it or are more well-versed. But when it comes to the matters of managing humans, there is experience of being with other humans that nothing can replace it, especially because this pandemic has exposed people to not gain that same experience at the rate that humans used to gain.
Well, we could probably talk for another 2 hours. I definitely will have you back so that we can continue on this discussion because I think it's a discussion that needs to be continued on. But for those of you that are listening and you are interested in learning more about what Kathy does and connecting with her, as always, I have a slide that has her contact information. If you're just listening, I will give the website, but you can find everything on my YouTube channel. Please subscribe, as well as my Find Your Leadership Confidence website. The website is heartmindtuning.com. Again, heartmindtuning.com. On social media, she can be found on LinkedIn by searching her name. For Facebook, it's the Heart Mind Tuning Initial Cap. And Instagram is Heart Mind Tuning, but a period between heart mind. Okay. So heart.mind.tuning. I'm going to turn it over to Kathy to talk to you about her call to action for you, what you'll find when you go to that heartmindtuning.com, and also about her business masterclass. Kathy?
Thank you so much, Vicky, for sharing this with the audience. Yes, if you go to my website, you can learn more about the journey that I have had to move from that tech executive into founding an agency that focuses on heart-centered leadership and executive coaching. One thing that I want to share with you is a business masterclass that helps you understand how you can master a breakthrough leadership without going through burnout. And we look into the four shifts that high achievers need to make to master this breakthrough leadership without going through the stress that leads to the burnout. So the link is on the slide that is Vicky is sharing. I really encourage you to go through that and enjoy it. And please connect with me on LinkedIn because I pretty much post on LinkedIn every day, I would say. And I don't think you will be disappointed in what you will get there.
Awesome. So many good things she's sharing with you all. So definitely go to that and to get the information is you can find it on her website, but it's the link is go.heartmindtuning.com/get-access. And that again is going to be on my show notes. So you can check out my show notes if you are just listening. So, Kathy, it's just been great chatting with you. You have such a wealth of knowledge. And really, as I said, I think this is something that we in the corporate world, as well as entrepreneurs, small businessmen, all need to be thinking about how are we leading and are we being human-centered? Because it does matter.
Thank you, Vicky, for having me. Thank you for entertaining the idea, and I appreciated the conversation very much.
Thank you. And as always, I remind everyone that life is a journey and it's up to you to enjoy the ride. This is Vicki Nethling signing off.
Thank you for tuning into the Find Your Leadership Confidence Podcast with Vicki Nethling, where we share impactful lessons that help you grow as an individual, grow your confidence, and find the positive and good within you so you powerfully and authentically become the best version of yourself. Remember to visit our website at www.findyourleadershipconfidence.com and enjoy even more great episodes like this one. Again, while you're here, subscribe to us via your favorite network. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Find Your Leadership Confidence podcast.